This is the intro jingle. This is the K-pop DevOps show with Eric Nam.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Eric Nam, and welcome to the DevOps show, K-pop DevOps. We have a cool episode today, and before we go into it, you guys, just a reminder, you guys can hit us up on our socials at DevOps show on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and follow our playlist on YouTube and Spotify. We're everywhere. We have a very special guest here today with us. I don't even know how to introduce this guy, especially because he's sitting here right next to me.
Yeah.
He's a singer, songwriter, entrepreneur, writer, genius, creative.
Stop.
Just my role model in life and everything artistic.
Please stop talking about yourself. You're describing yourself to me right now.
Yes, we are here with Tableau. Tableau of Epic High.
Hello. It's an honor to be here.
The honor is all mine.
No. It's I'm not kidding. Like, it's been a passion of mine to be seated next to incredible people, and right now, I'm at a loss for words.
Why are you reading my script? Pretty much,
dude. Just you are awesome.
You are awesome.
Eric Nam is awesome.
Tableau. Daniel Lee is awesome. Please, can I call you Danny?
No. Please don't ever call me by my real name.
I'm sorry.
Ever.
People don't really know that, do they?
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel when you hear your real name?
Like, I didn't really like the name Daniel. Mm. I've mentioned this before, but that's not the name I would have picked for myself.
What would you have picked for yourself?
When we first went to Vancouver, I was eight. Mm. So... my older brother, he's like much older than me. Mm-hmm. He got the chore of deciding his younger brother's name and his sister's name.
Okay.
His younger sister's name. And he opened up a Bible because our family was very Christian.
Uh-huh.
He opened up a Bible and started just picking out names.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, "You're Daniel. Like, be Daniel."
There it is.
And I was like, "I don't want to be Daniel." And this is a true story, but I wanted to be Bruce.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like
you wanted to be Bruce Lee.
Yeah, that's and he was like, "But you would be Bruce Lee though." And I'm like, "Yeah.
That's the point."
And I'm very grateful in retrospect that I went with Daniel.
Okay.
It would have been really tough for me.
It would have been a lot of
cha-cha. A lot of challenges.
Right.
And
a lot of karate chops at you in school.
And my life could have gone very differently.
You might have been an angry
I may have been dead. I may have not survived.
All right. So what did your brother pick for himself?
David.
David, Daniel, and your sister?
Christine.
This is the most Korean household I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I've been in classrooms with like four other Daniel Lees.
I mean, I'm surprised there weren't five.
I know.
That's amazing. But anyways, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
No problem.
When people say, "Please introduce yourself," mm-hmm. How does that go? Can you give us a little glimpse of that?
I'm Tableau. I'm in a group called Epic High. We make music. And yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people listening are already Epic High and Tableau fans. But for those who don't know, how did the name Epic High come together? Like, what just... Is that out of the Bible as well?
No.
No?
I wish. So I wanted high, the name, the word high in the name. Recycled through like multiple different words in mm-hmm. front of high.
Mm-hmm.
And some worked, some didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like planet high. You know, like funk high.
Funk high.
Or like. You know, we would put vegetables in front, like, you know, carrot, mushroom high.
You just tried everything.
It just didn't work.
Right.
And somebody was like, "What about epic? Because, you know, you like poetry." And I was like, "Oh, okay. And let's do it with a K instead of a C."
Right.
Because back then, this was like 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool to, like, change a letter.
Right.
You know, it was the
creative with a K.
Yeah, it was the hip hop thing to do.
Right.
It's like collaboration
with the K.
With the K.
Oh, gotcha.
And that's what we did. And I'm actually glad we did that because it's much easier to like pop up on searches.
It is.
Yeah.
It stands out. Absolutely. All right. So yeah, Epic High. We've introduced Epic High and Tablo on the podcast a few times before, but he's here. Tablo is here in the flesh.
Yes, I
am. I guess we're just gonna talk about whatever we talk about regularly.
You guys really do this early.
This is pretty early.
Yeah, like I came here, I couldn't even, you know, shave, and I'm very tired and I look haggard. And then I saw you. And
did like, it make you feel better?
Yeah, under the table right now, I don't know if people can see. This guy's wearing shorts and Birkenstocks. And
but it's fashionable as hell.
I'm surprised you don't have like a Ziploc bag with trail mix.
I have it. It's just outside the room. Yeah, don't talk about it.
They make their guests feel very comfortable.
That's the point of this show, you know?
It's I love
like it. it's a dialogue we could have in the living room.
I love it. I love your shorts.
Thank you.
They're
Thank
very you. They're like not too short and not too long.
And they're very comfortable. I just got to, you know, shout out to
which actually makes it more uncomfortable for me. Like if it was just very short,
right?
I would just be like, "Okay, dude, Eric's wearing like really short shorts." Or if it was long, I would be like, okay, maybe he just likes, you know, something in between like shorts and pants. But right now it's like at that line where it's like, is that too short or too long? And I'm thinking way too much about your shorts and your thighs. And that's, if that's what you're intending with those shorts.
Job done. It was not the intention, but since you gave it to me, I'll just say, Thank you.
Music video.
There it is, you guys. Now everybody's curious what we're wearing, but you guys can check it out on the video.
Yeah, we'll post something on
our socials.
On the socials, right?
Yeah. But anyways, you guys, Epica, you just came off of a massive, massive tour.
Yes.
You did 18 shows in North America.
Yes.
And you did 8 shows in Europe.
Yes.
Correct?
Seven shows.
Yes. So 25 shows in the span of a few weeks.
Yeah.
How was your tour? That sounds like a lot of anxiety and stress. But
the Europe tour was just crazy because we were constantly on planes.
Oh, okay.
Right? So it's like 7 shows in 8 days. So it just flew by. It was just hectic. And the North American tour was on a bus. And I have never toured on a bus. And you've done it,
but
right?
But that's fun.
Yeah. It fun?
I liked it. Well, I flew a few legs of it, but...
I mean, it was great. I got used to it pretty quickly. Yeah. But the worst part is I didn't know you couldn't do number 2.
On the bus.
Right? Like, I didn't know that was a thing. You know, if there's a bathroom and a toilet... Like,
you would assume.
Yeah, you would assume you could use it.
Right.
But there's like a huge fine if you take a dump.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Because it stinks up the entire bus.
And that actually was the hardest part for me because I couldn't eat dinner.
Like you're I was stressed.
I was so stressed that I would have to, you know, go to the bathroom and make the bus stop, like on a freeway.
Right.
And I would just skip dinners. Like, you have no idea how afraid I was. Like,
just clenching the entire time?
Yeah. And a couple times I had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I think the panic and like the nervousness made me want to go to the bathroom more.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Where you're like, what if I can't go?
Yeah, don't do it. And then it makes you want
to. Right. It's like a trigger.
Yeah. And there were some like dark streets that I had to walk alone to find a hotel. Like in San Francisco, the bus wouldn't leave until 5 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And at around like 2, 3 a.m., I had to go.
Oh, no.
And the venue was closed. There was nothing open.
You're not going to go to McDonald's.
So I walked out and I took our tour manager with me because he's this tall guy. And I thought maybe like, you know,
I would be
safer.
Right.
And we were walking and like, I'm not kidding. A rat ran by in front of our feet. It was just not good.
No.
But that's how important doing number 2 is, like, to me. You know, like, I risked my life.
You really did.
To do that.
Well, I'm glad you made it out alive.
Yeah.
That's a very... I just got stressed thinking about not being able to go.
Mm-hmm.
and you're just bringing me back to stressful tour bus days. But outside of the number two issues, anything really memorable off the tour? What were your favorite cities?
I liked all of them.
Don't pull that.
No,
you can't pull that.
I went to 17 cities in North America.
Right.
And 7 cities in Europe. And I loved them all, like, equally.
You're the worst.
I love them all, the worst. Very much equally. I'm assuming, since you asked the question, I'm assuming that you play favorites?
I do. I play favorites. Listen, you have one daughter, so I'm sure that you have one favorite child. Uh-huh. If I have kids, there's going to be a very distinct favorite child.
Okay, well, there's three brothers in your family, right? So you're one of three.
Yes.
Who do you think is the favorite of your parents?
The favorite of the parents? It's definitely Eddie.
Really?
Yeah. It's definitely Eddie.
Okay.
And there's very easy, like, Brian provides a lot of stress and anxiety to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mom and dad are constantly calling, like, is Brian alive?
Mm-hmm.
Is he eating? Is he, like, is he dead? Like, what's going on? It's a very normal question.
Mm-hmm.
For me, they're just like, Eric's like the kid. He just did everything on his own. Like, he's our translator / tour guide / mm-hmm. secretary. Eddie's the kid who's like, just calls, like, I just want to call and say that I really value that you are my parents and I love you so much. And I hope you have a great 8 hours of sleep. And in the morning, I'll call you to talk about Rocky and eat your vegetables.
Eddie does it?
Yes.
Oh,
he pulls that crap.
He's good at it.
He does that. And so
you said Eddie's the favorite of your parents. And the problem is that I think he knows that.
Right. And he uses it to his advantage.
Yeah. And he's very arrogant.
British Airways is proud to welcome you to our home, to the thrills of London and the hills of Scotland, to delicious roasts and stunning coasts. Then explore Paris and Madrid and roam around Europe. Devour the art and savour the food, or just shop and shop until you flop into bed. Take off to Britain and beyond. Book now for 2021 and change later with our flexible booking options. Terms apply. Visit ba.com for details.
Like, he has no insecurity.
Right.
And
right.
And it's unbelievable. Like, some people know, but he's also our international, you know, manager.
Yeah.
And his management, Ian Management, greatest management ever.
All time.
But he is very, you know, sure of himself.
Right.
To the point
he's cocky.
Where it's really annoying.
It's very, you yeah. kind of want to slap him just once.
Dude, especially watching soccer with this guy.
Because he tries to teach you a lesson.
It's really hard to just watch the damn game.
So condescending.
Yeah. It's like.
So patronizing.
Oh, God. And then his team always loses. So it's like.
And he has excuses, though.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
always.
Like, oh, because of this, because of that. And it's just the same when we're playing, like, FIFA or, you know, any soccer-related game.
Man.
He talks a lot, but just ends up losing. And he's like, PKs don't count. PK. Yo, why don't penalty kicks count? What in what world do penalty kicks count? If it doesn't count, why do they do it? Why do they do it?
I don't know, man. I'm on your team with this one. Like, here's the thing. I grew up with this kid, mm-hmm. right? We lived in the same house for 18 years or 16 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know all the tricks that he pulls. Like, he'll be like, okay. He'll make whatever bet. And then on one little, like, technicality that he makes up in his own brain,
mm-hmm.
everything is null. And he just does it. It just drives me crazy.
He's actually the perfect manager / agent, if you think about it. Like, he could
finagle his way out of it.
Yeah, he's like built for Hollywood,
right?
Basically, he's like Ari Gold.
He is just a small Asian version.
Yeah,
of him.
He's a curry, very small,
very small and skinny Asian
very
version of
small
him.
I've lived my whole life knowing that I'm not that tall,
right.
And I'm okay with it.
But you're taller. I heard you're taller than Eddie.
I actually am.
So, but do explain. You grew up knowing that you're not the tallest Asian dude.
And I'm actually totally fine with it.
Right.
I have no insecurities about mm-hmm. it. I'm proud of my height.
Right.
But Eddie on the tour was saying to me, this goes back to the whole cocky thing. And he's like, in front of everybody, he's like, dude, I'm so much taller than Tableau. What are you talking about? And I'm like, what? And he's like, he made it sound like he was at least like 2 feet taller than
Right, like Goliath.
And we stood up and I was taller than him. Okay? And that's the thing. It's like he thinks he's much taller than he is.
It's like a Napoleon complex,
yeah,
right?
And also, he thinks he's like
jacked.
Buff. Yeah, he thinks he's jacked.
He works out a lot, but yeah. I'm pretty sure our arms are bigger than his without any workout.
Most definitely.
Right.
Most definitely.
So we're going to talk.
He's a tiny Ant-Man. Ant-Man of a man.
He is an Ant-Man of a man. Before we continue to talk highly of and praise Eddie and Ian management, let's talk a little bit more about Epikai. So you guys did this European, this North American, US tour. What's next for you guys?
So we have a show in Hong Kong and a show in Taipei,
right,
in June.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we're doing a show somewhere else that we haven't revealed yet.
That you're figuring out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then we're doing a big show in Seoul.
Okay. When is that?
It's the annual thing that we do in the summer. It's I'm sure you've seen some of the parody posters.
I love those posters.
Yeah, the movie posters.
They're amazing.
And it's the fun, like very entertaining, funny concert. And it's in a small theater, so it's like really intimate.
Same place as last time?
Yeah. Okay. It's the place that you came and guessed.
Right.
Yeah. And that's happening in August. So before all of this happens, since we were on such a long tour, we've decided to take a month, like not a month, but like 3 week break.
Just chill out.
Yeah, it's just chill out. So after this recording, after this podcast, I'm actually gonna just take it easy for like 3 weeks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, empty my mind, empty my soul.
Right, and go to Everland and do those fun things. Apparently.
Yeah. We went to enough amusement parks to never go again. Like I'm not really a big fan of amusement parks. I can't go on roller coasters, and even the merry-go-round is just too much for me. Like just being on a horse made out of like God knows what
stuff.
And it just doesn't feel right.
Just doesn't do it for you.
Yeah.
It's fair enough.
My daughter loves it, but unfortunately, I'm not one of those dads that can, you know, get on a roller coaster.
Fair enough.
For the love of his daughter.
Fair enough. There are limits, physical limits to what you can do, what love can do.
I just, it's fear. What can I do?
Right. It's all good. Fear trumps your love.
Yeah.
I guess. Sorry, that was bad.
That was bad.
Anyways, let's talk about this album, this latest album. So I recently found out that it's not Sleepless in Blank. It's Sleepless in...
As if there's a pencil ripping through the air, and the air is a sheet of paper, and it's going.
There you go.
That's the proper way of reading it.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sure you've done this a million times, but for those who don't know, what was the inspiration behind this album, and what does this album in particular mean to you guys?
Okay, so sleeplessness is something that is common to all of us, especially nowadays, right? And I think it's an amazing topic to discuss because there are positive and negative aspects to it. Many people are sleepless because they have ambition, because they have a dream,
right?
Literally a dream,
right.
And that drives them to stay up late at night working on their craft. At the same time, on the flip side, there are people that can't sleep because of literal nightmares.
Right.
And I think that dichotomy was very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And in that way, it's very similar to love. And love is a muse to so many different songs. Right. And I felt that there should be an album dedicated to sleeplessness.
That's cool. That's cool. I've never really thought about the dichotomy of that. I think it's, when I thought of sleeplessness, I thought of more of just staying awake at night, just like having a billion thoughts on your head, being stressed, but not the part of the dreams and the aspiration, which is really cool.
And I think it's a big question for me, like that I've been asking myself, but like, what are you sleepless for?
Right.
And I understand that you are sleepless, but what are you sleepless for?
What keeps you up?
Yeah. What is the reason you're not sleeping right now? And hopefully it can become something that is positive.
Right. Right. That's great. This is also your first album as an independent release.
Yes.
So what was that process like? Again, coming back to it, what, 8 years later?
It was extremely intimidating because we knew that the result would, you know, it could have turned out bad. And if it did, we would be judged heavily because of it, right? It's because it's the first, like, independent, like, by ourselves album. If it didn't do well, people may compare it to us being on a label and saying, you know, you know, it was the label that did all that work or something like that. And luckily, it outperformed our previous albums. So we are very thankful that things turned out the way it did. But the nervousness dropping that album.
Congratulations, though. That it's such a great album, and it really it took over the charts.
Yes,
you know.
Yes,
that's thanks. That's, you know, you guys are very like humble and like not outspoken about it, but for those who don't know, it really took over Korea when it was released, and
thank God
the response has been amazing. It's still on the charts.
Yes.
And what was the creative process like putting the album together? Was it a long process, and how do you go about choosing and deciding who you want to collaborate with for every album?
I think the song determines who we collaborate with. Like, I think we cast our songs like a director would cast a movie. I don't just listen for the voice.
Right.
I also look at what that person, like the aura that that person embodies, to deliver the message that I want to deliver.
Right.
Because usually what they will be singing is a melody and lyrics that I wrote.
Right.
And I need them to deliver it for me, but at the same time deliver it in a way where it's true to them as well. And I don't want to just give somebody a melody and lyrics and, you know, it's not for them.
Right.
So I think I cast it like I cast a movie.
That's cool.
That's why, you know, our song Cave Me In.
Yeah.
The thing I love about Cave Me In was that, you know, we were all casted into that song.
Right.
In a way.
Right.
It came about like very organically. And if you like, I was rewatching the music video recently and it's a very strange mix. If you think about it,
it's a very weird mix.
Yeah. It's a very weird mix of people.
But it works.
And it works. Right. Sometimes I am open to surprising myself by, you know, building collaborations that you would have to think like a couple seconds about.
Right.
Even the song song request, 신청곡, that I, you know, I wrote, and it was 이소라 and Suga.
Right.
And these two artists can't, if you really think about it,
Shouldn't work.
Yeah, it almost shouldn't work.
Right.
They're on very different spaces, right? And but for some reason, it works. And it works in a way that is even better than if you put two people together that people expect be together.
Right.
And I think that's the beauty of collaboration.
Since we brought up Cave Me In, I think a lot of our listeners are probably curious in terms of how we met and that how that all happened.
So to tell my side of the story,
go for it.
I actually really wanted to sign Eric Nam. When I first started High Ground, the label, you were on a very short list of people that I wanted on the label. And you know, it didn't work out, and you ended up at a different
right
company.
Right.
And I actually met you in the States.
Right, we met in New York.
Yeah, at a kogichi.
At a Korean barbecue place.
And I was very drunk, and I was very happy to see you, and I told you this that day. And there was also a poster of you, like, in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's how I made my way up.
And I tore down the poster to take home, and I showed him. I was like, yo, there's a poster of you in the bathroom. And that's how we met.
Yeah, so I think you were there for, is it Show Me the Money
or something? Yeah, I think it was Show Me the Money concert.
Right, there was a Show Me the Money concert. I was there, and I happened to have a show at like NYU doing like a Korean-American kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up going to the Tipuri Heshik at this Korean barbecue joint in New York. I show up, and then there's like 20 sumbaes there.
Yeah.
Like all of you were there.
Yeah.
And I've never, you know, during my time in Korea, I had never gotten really close to anybody in hip hop or
and like 20 rappers.
Dude. 20 rappers. Yeah. Everybody's like drunk off their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk in and I was so uncomfortable. And so we get put into this little room. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many zombies there. I have to go say hi. And they're all just wasted. And so I'm going to the bathroom. As I'm walking to the bathroom, Tableau walks out of the bathroom. He goes, you! You're Eric Nam. And I just peed next to your face in the bathroom.
This is a very accurate description of what it is like to meet me.
And I was just like, wait, A, you know my name. B, why is my face in the bathroom?
Yeah, now I remember. I did pee right next to you staring at me. And I think maybe that's the reason I took the poster down.
Thank you. Thank you for doing
that. I felt like you were watching.
I feel like you were the one who took action, and I appreciate that because I'm sure a lot of guys were in that bathroom like, why is this dude staring at me as I take a dump, like, on the wall? But for me, coming from my perspective, I was like, A, very stressed out because there were so many zombies, but B, very like, it was a very pleasant surprise to meet you because I had grown up, like, you know, coming from the States, there are only a certain number of people who make it in Korea, you know, who are doing things and making moves. I was like, oh, Tableau's always been doing this for a long time. And so I was like, he knows my name. He knows what I look like. And he took the poster down in the bathroom.
Yes.
Thank you. This is an all around a good guy. And Tableau was telling me, like, I think you said, like, you said something like, you're so talented and like, we wanted to sign you and you're one of the very few people that do really cool things. And for me at that time, and still does, it meant so much as words of encouragement because so much of my career in Korea had been me going against the machine by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, I was like, oh, this person probably understands what I've gone through.
Definitely. Yeah. And you are extremely talented. And I think that's how that whole cave me in thing happened too, because by, you know, chance or fate, I ran into your brother,
right?
The aforementioned
skinny guy,
yeah. Eddie Nam,
right,
at Coachella, and he was with Gallant,
yeah,
and I had been talking to Gallant as well about a collab,
right,
and it worked out so that it was all three of us working together. And I'm glad that it worked out this way. And now Eddie's representing me in so many different places.
Right, right, right.
And I think it was meant to be.
It's fate, man.
Yeah, from you staring at me peeing in the bathroom to Eddie Nam telling me that he's so much taller than me and I don't know anything about soccer.
You noob.
Yeah.
Straight up noob. Yeah, it's full circle. So yeah, that's how we kind of got to know each other, and then I guess we kind of got close working on the song.
Yes.
And just drinking.
That music video shoot in Hong Kong, right, was crazy.
That was hilarious.
Dude, that was so funny. I can't believe we shot that whole thing in like a few hours.
That was shot in like 8 hours.
Yeah.
That was shot in 8 hours. I flew out there for Mama. Gallant was there for Mama. You flew out for the shoot.
For the shoot, yeah.
Yeah, and it was hilarious.
It was fun.
It was a good time.
Yeah, it was fun.
This is a random thing. I just have two little bits of information from our writers here.
Mm-hmm.
First, you made your acting debut on the Korean show Nonstop in 2005. Can we find this footage anywhere?
Don't.
And what was that like? Do you remember any of your lines?
Well, the acting stuff, I've been in a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been in a short film in mm-hmm. Korea. The thing that you just mentioned, the sitcom.
Right, right, right.
And I was also in a Hollywood movie.
Oh, were you?
Yes.
What movie was
a film called August Rush.
Ah, with Felicity, that yes. girl who plays Felicity. Right?
And the little Robin, boy. Robin Williams.
Right. And I think John Legend did the OST for that, maybe.
Oh, did he?
I think he did.
Well, I wouldn't know because I didn't watch the, I couldn't watch the movie because of shame. So I went to, I got casted in this movie.
Right.
Right. August Rush. Uh-huh. I'm not kidding here. And I went there. I went to New York and shot for over a week.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
What was your role?
On set. Okay. And here's where things get weird. Okay. So I get there. I'm not certain exactly what role I have.
Right.
And I get there and there's a bunch of kids.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And they're like 7.
Yeah.
At the most, you know, the oldest kid there was like 8 yeah. or 9.
Yeah.
And I'm there, and I'm like 26 or 25 or something like that. And and I'm like, why are there all these kids here? Am I supposed to be like a caretaker? Like, am I like their dad? I mean, what is going on here? And apparently I was casted as one of them. Okay? I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. And I'm like, huh? What do I do here? And then one of the kids is like, hey, how old are you? Right?
He's like an 8-year-old kid.
There's a bunch of kids. I mean, if you see the movie, there's a bunch of kids, and I'm sitting there with them. And before the shoot, they play, you know, like to warm up the kids.
Yeah.
We sit in a circle and we play
like
this
Duck,
like
Duck, Goose.
Yeah, like this cute game. And one of the kids is just like just staring at me like suspiciously the whole time, right? And then he's like, he finds a moment where he can like slip in a conversation. And he's like, dude, how old are you? And I'm like, I'm 27. And he's like, no. I'm like, no, I really am. he's like, you can't be 27. And I'm like, no, I'm not kidding. I really am. And he's like, and I'm like, how old do I look? And he's like, 12. And even then he thought I was too old to be there.
Right, right.
Because he's like, what's this 12-year-old kid right. doing here?
You still
And I was like, oh god, I gotta get out of here. And I told the people that were there with me, I was like, yo, I can't, what is this?
By the way, this is what, 10 years ago?
This is a long time ago.
Right, and you're still like, you're the rapper, hip hop,
yeah, yeah.
genius.
And I'm like, dude, like, what's going on here? Like, I'm playing. My character is a 9-year-old. I can't do this. I gotta go. And they're like, no, but we made an agreement. Like, you gotta do it. So I had to actually do this shoot for over a week, acting like I was 8 or 9. And also, I had to play a bunch of instruments. And the worst part about this is that I actually did work really hard. I played drums. I played a clarinet. All of these instruments, I don't know how to play.
So you pretty much went to summer camp.
Yeah. And they gave me a clarinet and they're like, play this. Because it was about a band.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know how to play the clarinet. And the director's like, it's okay, just pretend to play. And I'm like, how do you pretend to play? And I was doing all this and the movie came out. And apparently I was in there for like a split second.
Dude, okay. Well, that was it?
Yeah, like, okay, so there's a still of, if you Google it, there's a still of me in it.
Uh-huh.
And the still is probably the length of my
just
entire
flash.
Yeah, it's like a film still, okay?
Oh, man.
And I realized that this was going to be something like something to ridicule, right? And when it came out in Korea, and it did pretty well. And I'm in a scene where Robin Williams throws a knife and it lands on the stage in front of me and I act shocked.
Did you have a line?
Dude, I didn't have a line because they messed up and they didn't get the right visa or something for me to have line.
No way.
But I gotta say, when I did the surprise
it
thing.
It was good.
Robin Williams. Like, when we were taking a break, he said, that was good. Because he probably thought I was 12 too.
Hey, little kid, that was good.
No, but I'm serious. I'm kidding about he thought that I was 12. He actually did know who I was.
That's awesome, bro.
Because what was amazing is someone in his family, even back then, liked K-pop and especially liked Epic High for some reason. And
man,
he actually mentioned that he knew of one of our albums, Swan Songs.
That's crazy.
And that was crazy. And, you know. And
then you were like, please adopt me. I'm 12.
And I loved Robin Williams. So
that's super cool.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. But anyways, the movie came out in Korea. I tried to hide it from everybody. I didn't tell anyone. But if you know, people found out, they were watching the movie and they're like, wait, what? They're like, dude, was that Tableau? And then someone's like, why would Tableau be in there? That makes no sense. They're like, no, I swear to God, I think I just saw Tableau. And it was like, you know, on the search engines, and it was like the number one search thing. And, you know, I was like walking in shame.
Well, you guys, now you have a reason to watch this amazing, amazing movie, August Rush. Yeah. Check it out.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, I never watched it.
I heard it's a great movie.
I haven't watched it, and now I have a reason. A lot of great people involved, Robin Williams.
Maybe I'll watch it now.
Maybe we should have a watch party.
No, we should not do
that. We should have a watch party. Anyways. Any future acting plans or ambitions?
I mean, I love films.
Right.
I'm a huge
You're film junkie.
Yeah, I'm crazy about movies. So if ever, you know, like if I got casted in like a Marvel film, this is something I always say.
Right.
If Kevin Feige calls Eddie and he's like, dude, I want Tableau in the next Guardians of the Galaxy or in the next Spider-Man movie, right?
Right.
It would be great for me to play.
As a fan, right.
I would take that role. I don't know how good I would be, but I'd be like, thank you. But that's like how much I love. That's the extent.
Maybe you could be one of the Spider-Men in one of the multiverses. That could be cool.
Like, but I would have a mask on the whole time.
Yeah, like, but then like if
nobody
you watch
would know
into
it's
the
me.
Into the whatever thing, into the multiverse.
Yeah, into the Spider-Verse.
Right. See, like you could take your mask off.
I mean, I would pay money to be in a Marvel film because I'm such a huge fan.
Yeah.
But other than that, my interest is more backstage.
Like writing.
More of the creative process.
Right.
Be it writing or coming up with different ideas. That's a passion I definitely seriously have.
Right.
And it's something that I hope to explore in the future. Mm-hmm. But acting, I mean, like if someone, you know, for some odd reason really wants me in their film,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure I will do my best. But I'm not so certain that I'm like, because I'm married to an actor,
right.
You know, like, and she's very good at acting. I'm self-conscious. I think of myself as a horrible actor, like automatically.
I mean, that's, I mean, I feel like we're very self-aware people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that comes with part of that.
Why don't you do acting? That's
because
something
I'm a horrible actor, I'm sure.
Have you tried?
I was cast in a movie.
Uh-huh.
And then for scheduling conflict, I couldn't make it.
Uh-huh.
But like the few times that they're like, can you film and like send it over? Like I've gotten the role, but I can't watch myself. I want to stab the person on that screen.
If you
myself,
if you got the role, that means you were pretty good, right? Like you didn't get a video back where they're just like laughing at you. They're like, "This guy sucks."
I didn't get one of those. But
yeah, you got the role. That means you're pretty good, right?
I just feel like I don't know. I feel like I want to be good if I want to. I want to do it.
I think definitely you should try, and if maybe like you and I can go into a movie as brothers,
right?
And you could play Eric Nam, and I would play your younger brother Eddie Nam.
Oh, but you're too tall for that role.
I would.
You're
yes,
a little
I,
too jacked for that
yes,
role.
I am. Hi, I'm Eddie Nam.
Dude, you sound just like him.
Yeah, Liverpool,
dude. That's. I just got chills. All right, so we're gonna get some song recommendations from you.
What do you mean?
Song recommendations. I'm going to give you a mood, and you just recommend a song according to that mood.
Give me a mood.
All right, when you need to hype yourself up before a big test.
Any song that has DJ Khaled on it is great with me. Okay. And if there is a song that you love and it doesn't have DJ Khaled on it,
right?
I think you should download a audio clip, like a clean audio clip of DJ Khaled, and just put it on the song that you like.
That's brilliant.
Okay?
Brilliant. Okay, I like
anything with that on it is fine. Okay.
All right, next. When you low-key need a really good cry.
When I need a really good cry. You know that song, At 17? You know that song?
No, what is that song? Na-na-na-na-na-na.
The love was made for beauty, cause
do you know this? Any of you know this?
Janice Ian, I think. It's the song is called At 17.
Oh.
And that song is, the lyrics are beautiful. There's like a French version that that this French guy sings. Mm. I think maybe that was the original, but this song is like just the you know, like that sad feeling of, you know, like when you're turning into an adult.
You're losing that last bit of innocence kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like this really quiet summer, maybe, like when you're starting to lose your innocence. And the vibe of the song and the lyrics just kill me for some reason. Mm. I think maybe mentally I was always stuck at 17. I think I was very myself and very happy when I was that age.
Right.
And I even though, you know, a lot of time has passed, I don't think I've ever grown out of that.
Mm.
And this song always takes me back and makes me really sad.
Cool.
I want to cry right now.
At 17 by Janice Ian.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to be inspired to make something really cool. Cool art.
Anything with DJ Khaled on it.
Okay. All right. I think I know the answer to this one. When the party's kind of dead and you need to revive it.
I would go with
DJ Khaled. All right. And lastly, just a good song that's good for any occasion, no matter what.
I think there's a song called Runaway by Eric Nam.
I think I know that song.
Eric Nam.
It's a pretty good song.
Not the Kanye West Runaway.
Runaway Love.
The Eric Nam Runaway, I would recommend.
Well, thank you. Thank you for those recommendations.
No problem.
But
you should superimpose like the DJ Khaled
in front of the Runaway.
Yeah.
Alright, I think that would work.
It would.
That would definitely work. Okay, cool. Well, let's jump into our last segment. We're gonna just have Eddie of EM Management join us.
Okay, the minute he left, like
he literally ran out.
Literally walked out 2 seconds before you said that.
I know. What is this guy? And he left his phone in on purpose so we can't reach him.
Let's go find him.
All right, let's go find him.
Ooh. You are listening to The Debug Show.
Yeah.
Eric Nam. And Tamu. Hey.
What's up? All right, so now that we dragged Eddie back into this room.
He was in the bathroom, like, checking himself out.
Just pumping himself up. All right. We have we have the CEO and president of EN Management here with us today.
Yes.
And we have the honor of having him on our show. If we could just give him a standing ovation and a welcome. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, Eddie.
Welcome, welcome.
It's been a long time.
Go ahead and slip those headphones on so you could hear us 360 just talking crap great things about you.
Just to let the listeners know.
Yeah.
I, Tavlo, did not know that Eddie Nam was going to jump into our show. Like,
yeah.
I actually don't know why we're having...
How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel like... So, Eddie's the one who brought up me being on this to me. So, I feel like he used me to warm up the room for him to jump in at the last segment.
So you're pretty much the opening act.
Yeah. I am the opening act for Eddie Nam right now.
This is the class of our show.
Yeah. Why are you on this right now?
This is all I gotta say. This is my show now.
All right. He's so arrogant.
He is so arrogant and
listening in on everything prior to me joining right now, I was squirming, but I knew.
Because it was boring?
But I knew I'd have my say. Well, listen, on the real though, thank you for joining the show, Tableau. I know you're very, very busy, but this is actually the first time I'm seeing Tableau in over
2 weeks.
Two and a half weeks.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a very long time.
Yeah, we saw each other, but I went from seeing each other every day for about 6 weeks to not seeing him for 2 weeks. So, you know, I had to say, I kind of missed you, bro.
Dude, I had withdrawals. Like, like my wife, you know, she's going to be very, she was very surprised because I would be like sleeping and I'd be like sleep talking. Like, Eddie.
I beat you.
I had a very similar situation
with
Brittany. You know, she's like, hey, why are you so sad? You know, like, you're happy. You're here with me and Rocky. And I was just like, you just don't understand. And I couldn't really go into explanation. So she's been thinking something's been wrong.
But yeah, me too.
Missing the tour,
dude, that's why I have these crazy videos of Eddie.
Like, what?
What do you mean?
He's been here the past week and he's been very weird.
Unraveling.
Like, he's been unraveling. Like, I'll show them to you later.
The downward spiral.
Yeah. And then Brittany sent me this little gem of a photo as well. I don't know if you've seen this.
What is going on here, dude?
But Brittany sent that to me with no
explanation. Can I show this?
Yeah, go ahead, show it.
Dude, what is going on here? Okay.
Okay.
When you get pictures like this without an explanation.
I literally was like, what's going on?
Okay, this guy is on some kind of apparatus that is connected to a line. And you're wearing some helmet. What are you wearing, like, clothing-wise? What is going on here? Is this like a zip line?
This was about 4 years ago. Okay, I was finding my footing in LA. You know, was working paycheck to paycheck. It was a tough time. So
were you going from one paycheck to another on using a zip line?
What were you doing?
I was a zip line.
Like, those sunglasses. What are those sunglasses?
Were you trying to find footing by zip lining there?
Like I said, I was balling on a budget. And those sunglasses were from high school. Okay, those shoes that you're seeing right now, those are Appas.
Those are
okay.
Definitely looking like dad shoes.
Those are Appa shoes.
Oh, really? I thought these shoes were pretty cool, actually.
No, but
I thought that was the only
shoes.
Part of this picture that
I,
was.
I guarantee you, he stole them from our dad.
Kind of cool, dude. Is this in L.A.?
No, it's in Arizona.
Oh, it's in Arizona.
We're ziplining in Sedona across like a zoo.
Okay, because it looks like a construction site. I don't know what's going on here, dude.
Yeah. I don't know how you got access to that.
I don't know. She sent this to me with no explanation, and I was like, there's something wrong here.
Okay.
I think it's a metaphor for his downward spiral. You know, like he is literally ziplining to hell.
Do you know what the first thing that kind of struck me when I was like, Tableau and Eddie on a bus. Together. They're on tour for weeks. That's a lot of talking going on there.
Dude.
Oh my
god. It is something that other people notice.
It's just gotta be a lot of jibber jabber nonstop.
Second day we were there, okay? Yeah. And Two Cuts was like, dude, you and Eddie talk so much. Right? He got kind of like
did he get jealous?
Fed up.
Oh, he got fed up.
No, he's like, dude. Why do you guys talk so much? He's like,
but more you though.
And yeah. I was like, it's not me. I was like, Eddie talks a lot, and I am courteous, so I respond.
Oh, right, gentlemen.
Because I can't just sit there and have him just blabber on.
Right.
So I have to respond once in a while, and that's why it sounds like both of us are talking. And Two Cuts is like, no. Eddie talks a lot, and you talk a lot too, and the two of you together is just crazy. And what's funny is by the last week of the tour, Two Cuts, we were all eating together, and Two Cuts was just watching us talking. And Two Cuts is like, dude, you're right. It is Eddie. It is Eddie that talks a lot, and you just respond. Remember he said this. Don't deny it. Two Cuts acknowledged that Eddie is the problem. And dude, he does talk a lot.
He has a lot of feelings.
He talks a lot, and so do I, and we love talking to each other, but you can tell neither of us are really talking to each other.
You just...
We're, like, when I'm talking, he's waiting until he can talk, right? And he's just, like, nodding, but not really.
I'm not listening to anything.
And then he's talking, and I'm not listening to what he's saying. I'm planning out what I'm going to say as soon as he closes his mouth. And the two of us are just doing that.
It's a competition.
Yeah, constantly.
Right.
He's actually my nemesis.
I'm surprised work gets done between the two of
you. Yeah, I am actually surprised.
But I don't know. Like, so this is a question that I kind of forgot to ask earlier. And maybe I can ask Eddie because I think a lot of people...
The truth.
That's like whatever.
I'm here.
But later. I'm more curious about the dynamic of Epic High, right? So there's the Epic High dynamic that Tableau can explain, but there's also the bystander of you watching these three grown men.
The objective view.
Objective view of three grown men living on a bus together every day.
Do you mean in a social setting? Or
in a social setting.
Okay, in a social setting. All right, let's bring it back to FIFA because I got something to say. Okay. So, again, as Tableau said, I do talk a lot. Okay, I am very knowledgeable. I used to be ranked in FIFA in 2011 in the top 60,000 in the game that has about 3 million users at the time.
Hey. So you're talking about how awesome FIFA is. Let me just mention the fact that 2006 FIFA had a song on the game internationally by the group Epic High.
Dang. Okay?
And the song was Fly. So even before you even knew what FIFA was,
Flexing. They
were using my song. So don't even tell me about how many users are using FIFA, okay?
I was actually playing FIFA since 98. I was just mentioning the time I was world ranked. So
dude,
again,
in 98,
that's irrelevant.
You were like 4. Okay, you were like...
eight years old. I was 8.
Okay, whatever.
All right,
let me
carry on. Okay, so the first few times we played, it's a pastime. We played FIFA. These guys are complaining it's not winning 11. That's what they play in Korea. I get it.
Okay. PES. We play PES.
Okay, Mithra's pretty good. Tableau, too, because they've got some work to do. But they all beat me, okay? But
to
be completely fair, I had a stomachache. I could barely even press the buttons. And like I had no color in my face. And I played anyways out of respect.
Right.
Okay. They beat me. And then I want to say right before Vancouver, last show, I knew I was ready. I had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I wasn't sick. And so when I played them, they were feeling pretty good. I think I beat Mithra 3 times in a row, Tableau once. Two Cuts woke me up at 5 in the morning saying he's ready. He shook me out of bed. And I
this
was dead
out of bed. This is true.
I was dead asleep.
I don't know why Two Cuts woke him up at 5 a.m. I think he tried to
catch me off guard.
Level the field.
Right. He heard I was on a rampage. He knew that if he could catch me in deep sleep, he'd have a good advantage. So I begged
Eddie
him.
Was playing in the midst of REM sleep. Okay.
And I beat him 4-0 in halftime.
Wow.
So, okay, it is pretty funny.
But you even like making it a thing about like beating Two Cuts 4-0 is like not even a topic because Two Cuts I beat Two Cuts all the time.
Day in, day out.
Because he's just not good at all.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But to use I beat Two Cuts as something against me, like as if you're better than me by default. Come on.
I appreciate that insight because yesterday he told me this story and he was like, dude, I just whooped him and I just killed him.
Dude,
and
you're still talking about
it? He was
like,
I was dead asleep.
Dude.
It was pretty much, I'm like almost like delirious and I beat him. And so I was like, oh, that's
all right,
cool.
Let's change topics.
Dude,
so
even Son Heung-min probably doesn't talk about his wins as much as you do. And you just had a controller, okay? This guy's literally really playing soccer.
I'm glad I'm on the show because everybody has a voice. On social media, Tableau has millions of followers, and I can't compete. He says something, his fans drop in, like, ha, I bet Tableau killed you. I want to say something, but it's not worth it, okay? So I'm glad we're here. I'm telling the truth. It is what it is. But
you never answered the actual question.
I just,
did you guys notice Eric asked Eddie?
It was a simple question. A very simple question.
The social dynamics of Epic High, right? So the topic was about Epic High, considering that I'm a guest here right now, right?
Right.
And Eddie just went on to talk about how great he is.
Just bragged.
Just talked about himself.
This arrogance.
And used us as like
pawns.
We're pawns.
Yeah, as pawns for his own checkmate of a thing. Like what?
What is your end goal?
This is what Eddie does.
I just needed to clear the air because I was sitting there listening to y'all blabbering on with
bunch of things about me having noodle arms, which again isn't
Korean American Ari Gold. He's
I have to defend my brand.
He's Ari Gold with a K.
The dynamic. Yes. Okay, I'll bring it back. So
we just go on to the next question? Do we have to sit through this again? Oh my God.
Hey, do you know what? Do you know why I'm asking this? It's because I watch your 1 minute vlogs on your Instagram.
Oh yes.
And I think they're the best things.
Thank you.
Ever. Thank you so much. I think they're savage. I think that phone thing where he just puts it right out of reach is just genius.
Yes.
You guys have an amazing dynamic. So I wanted to hear, like, we've seen it on the video side, but I think it's different when there's somebody there watching it being like on the side.
Yeah, what do you think, Eddie? Can you just answer the question, please? Can we get on?
Answer the question.
Yeah. It's a great dynamic. You know, on stage, off stage, they get along, but they all have wives, and they are always FaceTiming back to Korea.
Tabo, are you sure you still want this guy to manage you?
What the hell is this? What kind of an answer is this? What do you mean? They all have wives. What? That's your answer to our dynamic?
What do you want me to say?
They all have
the
wives.
The vlogs are all true.
And they FaceTime back to Korea. All
right, what kind there's of a lot of time on the road. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot this of time guy, and you guys are seeing a sliver of it.
This guy is incapable of staying on topic, dude. Or talking about anyone else.
Eric, what do you want to hear?
All right,
what do you want to hear?
You know what? We'll go to Tabo. Tabo, do you guys ever fight? Does that big guy ever fight?
I ain't no snitch. I ain't saying nothing about my artists.
Do we ever not fight? is the question I would ask.
What do you fight about?
Everything.
Oh man.
Everything. We're fighting right now and we're not even together right now. Like, man, we are constantly disagreeing.
Mm.
I would like to say that works to our benefit.
Right.
But I'm not so sure. There's no way to really know. Okay. That's just something we tell ourselves to, like, keep this, you know, going.
This happy union going.
But we do argue about everything, like, from, you know, what we're going to eat, where we're going to eat it. Like, the biggest thing on tour was, like, Eddie and I have similar tastes.
Mm. Like, food, everything?
Yeah, food-wise. Okay. So we would want to, you know, eat something or go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, Two Cuts would be like, oh, let's just eat separately. And even Eddie was like, let's just eat separately, because it was really hard to just bring everybody on board.
Right.
And so we fight about pretty much everything, like about like what each other looks like.
Mithra is agreeable, though. He's the mangnae.
Mithra is agreeable because that's a euphemism. It's because he's lazy. Like, he's too lazy to take part.
Right.
In the discussion or the argument or making a choice whatsoever.
This is my perceptions of these three guys, and I could have, you know, I could be wrong. Mithra to me is like the bear that's like, I'm a hibernate and do my thing, and when I'm on stage, I'll do my thing.
And if a salmon jumps out of the water, I will
just
bite it and eat it, but otherwise, I'm just gonna chill.
Right. And then there's Two Cuts, who I think is hilarious. And he kind of hits me as like the grumpy grandpa / Donald Duck.
Since we're going with the animal thing, I would say that he's like a fox.
Okay.
Or a mongoose.
So sassy.
Yeah, he's a mongoose.
That just kills snakes.
And a snake at the same time.
What?
He's a mongoose. Yeah, he's a mongoose.
So personality.
He's a mongoose. So he's both.
Okay.
He's both.
All right.
Yes.
And then you're like this eager beaver, just ready to get it.
What do you mean, eager beaver, dude? What the hell?
Eric's trying to beef.
Eric.
Just slightly trying to beef.
You're the eager beaver, dude.
Eric, you are the eager beaver.
I'm just trying to get you, you know.
If I thought of one animal to describe you, you would be the eager beaver.
I would be the lone tiger. Like the
I don't know, man.
I would be a lone tiger.
I respect you, but tiger might be a little
like,
too cool.
Wise.
You're more like this like a squirrel.
I was gonna actually say that, and then I went for beaver. See, they're still in the same rodent family.
You know, Eddie, you're like an acorn.
Lion.
To me, you're an acorn of a man.
Just brown and
just a tiny little thing I can step on and not feel too bad about.
Right,
you know?
And you enjoy the crunch of the acorn.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
Okay, right. Moving on. Will you just answer the question? What is the dynamic like
between
you and you Africa? Were supposed to answer the question.
And then you took over. And then
because he asked me.
All right, let's just move on. Okay. Do you guys like working with each other?
I'm not so sure after this episode, dude.
This is the end. The beginning of the end.
You're seeing the, you know.
The downfall.
The downfall.
It's happening.
In all honesty, though, it keeps it fun, right? I feel like, Eric, working with you, it's very different. You know, it's like working with Tabo and Abikai, also very different. Both very pleasant and stressful experiences because y'all are both smarter than me. I take that. I accept, right?
What are you doing?
I accept that my artists are smarter than me, but that is what keeps me on my toes, and it drives me forward to do cool opportunities with you guys.
The thing that's keeping you on your toes is that we're taller than you.
And
and you're trying to like make yourself look taller. That's what's keeping you on your toes.
This is just too funny. I have to share a side story. So we're having this conversation.
Oh, no!
We're having this conversation on the bus about who is taller. And I have to agree with Tabo. For a long time, I thought I was about 4 inches taller than Tabo. I don't know why. I just thought I was.
And then we sat full 4 inches. Like, that's almost a half foot.
Right. So
dude,
then
we are literally identical. But for some reason, he always thought that he was 4 inches taller than me.
Okay? So you're asking to borrow my clothes. I'm like, that's a little bit too big for you. There, buddy. Yeah, we went to Target before our first stop. We had to do a little bit of shopping in Minneapolis. Right. So we went to Target and Tyler was like, I need socks. I'm going to freeze on the bus. And I was like, okay, sure. Let's go find some socks. We go to the adult section. Everything's like size like 10 to 16.
Humongous. Leggings. Like, leggings.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, leggings on me.
What happened? You would go up to the person at Target and you're like, hey, could you, give it. Take us to like the
kid size.
You kid size to get the socks, and she's like, "Okay, sure." She takes us over there. We see bulk of like 16 pairs of socks for $10.
Nice.
We pull it out of the bag. We try it on. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's like
I'm wearing them right now.
It's almost infant size. Okay. Okay. What was funny is the person was like, "We were like, do you have kid socks?" And they were like, "Do you mean like toddler socks?" And Eddie was like, no, no, no. I mean, for us. And she took us to the right spot, like, immediately.
That's good.
Still the best socks
Target,
I own.
Great yeah. customer
I'm
service.
Actually wearing them right now. What's
no, no. Oh, my God. They literally have the same
the gray
socks
on. The bottom, right? Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Put your feet
Look
away.
At this. Look at this. Same socks. Look at those little these are the feet. Socks we got at Walmart.
They're hugging his feet a little bit tighter than mine.
And these socks are supposed to be for 12-year-old, boys.
What?
Perfect.
You know what?
It works perfect.
It's fine. You know, we're Asian. It's just the way it
no,
works.
No, it fits so snug.
It's perfect.
It's great.
Shout out Hanes.
Shout out Walmart.
Okay.
All right. Cool. Well,
my armpits are sweaty. You guys make me nervous because y'all are talking mad shit right now.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? What are you saying?
We've just been complimenting you. All Let's right. do a compliment thing. Eddie, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
I think Eddie and Ian Management, they're just exceptional at their work.
They are.
They're very good. I have never heard anything bad.
If you had a Yelp review of Ian Management, what would it be? How many stars and what would your review say?
How many stars can you have?
It's five. Five out of five.
About 4.1.
Okay. All right. That's Six. Not bad. That's better than average.
You're missing about 0.9.
4.1 because Yelp reviews, they never give you the full.
Right. Review. There's always something.
Yeah. There's always someone like bringing it down.
Right. Right.
So maybe 4.1, mm-hmm. 4.2 mm-hmm. at the most.
4.2. Right. Yeah. 4.2 is reaching, but I'll give it to you just because we're on camera.
No, but seriously though, I think they're great. I don't think there are enough, they're Asian, Asians, doing what Eddie does.
Right.
You know, we have a lot of artists right now, and a lot of people that want to be artists.
Right.
And we don't have enough people that are representing us on everything else.
Right.
You know, and that is passionate about making that artist that reach his dreams.
Right.
And I think it's great that there are people like Eddie, and Eddie just happens to be probably, in my opinion, the best at it. Mm. And that is why I'm working with him. Right. It's not because he's Eric's brother or, you know, someone I know. Mm. This guy's just objectively very good.
Just a bonus that we all get along.
Yeah. But if he gets too good and starts taking, like, mad clients, if he's working with, like, you know, if he's suddenly, like, working with, you know, like, some amazing artists.
Yelp review just drops.
And his roster gets huge, then, you know, Eric and I are going to have to step out.
Well, there's another non-brother.
Was that a threat?
Because you know he's going to, like, let's pretend he was working with, like, for example, like, name someone that's, like.
Pharrell.
Yeah, let's say he takes on Pharrell. Okay.
Oh, man.
Okay, and you know he's going to just be hanging out with Pharrell the whole time.
No, right.
That's not true.
Drinking vampire blood, because that man never ages.
The way I look at it,
awesome.
We're building an ecosystem of great people and great artists. So for me, it's a no-brainer. For Eric, also with EM Management, which is a lot of fun. It's more like a family.
Yeah. What we built. But I really do firmly believe we need more people like Eddie.
We do. And I think that's part of, like, that's why we get along as well. I think we are in it because we're friends and we're family, but also because we have a bigger vision, something that's bigger than ourselves.
Yes.
Which, you know, that's something that is now coming into conversation globally, but we've been about that for years. Uh-huh. And I think it's finally starting to pay off where you and I, all of us here, we're starting to see interesting opportunities being presented. And we're just trying to push the boundaries there. So exciting times ahead.
So good job, Eddie.
Good job, Eddie.
Thank you guys for being talented.
It's noble to be passionate and to have passion for yourself, but it's something amazing when you are passionate about someone else's passion, right? And that's what people like Eddie do, and that's what everyone behind the camera, behind the mic, they all are like that. So we need more people like that, and I applaud anyone that's trying.
Eric told me that I'm a very emotional person. And I bring this back to your concert, because after your shows, I would call and he's like, how was it? I'm like, dude, it was amazing. I get emotional sometimes when I see a great show or a great audience. Same with Eric. When I see, like, the audience come out to the show, pay a hard ticket, spend their evening to watch the Eric Namo at the Guy show, I think that's amazing. Not only just to inspire other people, but also for you guys to share your work and, do it at the level you're doing. So thank you for letting me be a part of it. I feel very lucky, but I also know it's a privilege. That's why I'm going to take this as far as we can.
Great.
Until we die.
Amazing. Thank you.
Until we die?
I don't know. I don't know about that part.
Yo, people that went die. Dark really fast.
People die every day.
Well, we are eventually going to die. I mean, that's a fact. But hopefully while we're alive, we do amazing things. And we do amazing things together. And you don't cause my death.
Well, there we go.
Is the bare minimum of what I'm hoping.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us on today's K-pop Tebak show. Let's start wrapping it up. I think if it's okay with you guys, we wanted to do some sort of giveaway.
I'm ready to give away, like, Eddie's socks.
Oh. Dang.
Or like Eddie's shirt. Like, just anything to do with Eddie.
I honestly don't want to give away the model of the socks, because then there's gonna be a huge demand for it. Then these
prices go up.
Like,
prices surge and we don't want that.
I understand.
True economist here.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Right. Exactly. True economist. But as far as a giveaway goes,
what do you guys want? What do you guys
I know you guys have a very limited amount of promo Sleepless in albums. So we'll give away three.
Oh, actually, I think we have three.
Okay.
Because I can get the ones that the members took.
Right. And just take them back.
Yeah. Mithra's and Two Cuts of Mine.
Okay.
Put it together as three. And these would be CDs that we actually held on to for a while.
Right.
Right.
They were ours.
Right.
Wow. So
very meaningful.
More meaningful.
Well, thank you so much. We'll be sending them out to our listeners, so stay tuned.
And we have merch we can give out, right?
Merchandise.
No? Yes.
Do we not?
We do. So you gave me the albums. You guys all sign them. I'll take it back to the States.
All right. So three signed albums from Epic High.
All right.
How do we want to do it? Listeners?
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Okay. So if you guys can go to the music video Love Drunk, all right, leave a nice comment of what you love about the song, the album, Epic High, or the music video, and hashtag
Daebak Show.
Just why don't you just say hashtag Daebak Show, and then after that, leave a blank and then name Eddie or Tableau who you honestly think is taller and better at FIFA. And
hashtag
that answer is very obvious.
Tiny Eddie.
I like that.
Hashtag
tiny
Eddie. Acorn of a man.
All right. So, yeah, we'll do that. We'll be checking winners very soon. This podcast is not for me. I realize that podcasting is not my strength.
Hearing my voice right now.
Well, brother, you got video here, too.
Hearing my voice through these headphones, it feels like I'm in an alternate universe.
Hearing
everything I'm about to say, it doesn't sound right.
All right, so Tableau,
thank you so much for having me here on this show and sit in on this therapy session for Eddie Nam. thank you so much, and hopefully, if you guys ever need me back, I can come back whenever you need.
Thank you so much.
Daebak Show, just like the name. Daebak. I think it's wonderful that you guys are doing so good, and hopefully one day I can do my own like podcast, and
yeah,
you can come
absolutely
as a guest. And
anytime.
Don't bring your brother.
Okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't bring it.
Do not worry about it. This is my last podcast. plug your social, sir.
So it's Blow by Blow, BLO by BLO. That's the thing. People are like Blobby Blow.
And yeah, I thought it was Blobby Blow.
No, it's like my name is Tableau. So Blow by Blow. It's like you're getting the real me from me.
You.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also like a play on Blow by Blow. Like
boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know,
that's
whatever.
I had no idea. I literally would all be like Blobby Blow. Just,
it's not Blobby just, Blow.
And I was like, I wonder if Haru made this name up because it's just.
No.
Dad, it's a Blobby.
So it's not Blobby Blow? This is news to me.
It's Blow by Blow, and just search for Epica. Just search for Tableau Epica, and you'll see the Instagram or whatever.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for checking out this episode of Daebak Show with Tableau of Epica and this guy from EN Management. Have a great week, night, day, morning, wherever you are, and we'll see you soon.
Bye. Woo, 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 woo. DJ Khaled.
Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
We're Good Moms, Bad Choices podcast.
Two black single moms living in LA, the Valley to be exact.
Duh.
We keep it 100, real, and unfiltered every Wednesday.
This is not your average mom show. No DIYs, mommy hacks,
or complaining about how our kids just hit their 60-month milestone.
This is grown folks talk.
That's right, because mama gotta have a life too.
Nothing is off limits as we discuss mental health, sex, motherhood, dating, culture, and our sometimes bad choices.
With a range of guests from social activists to porn star parents. This is a judgment-free zone for moms, women, and anyone looking for their tribe.
Join us, your host,
Erica
and Mila of Good Moms, Bad Choices podcast.
Every Wednesday on all podcast platforms.
Acast recommends.